1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, John says to us, and he has the right to address us in that way, seeing that he's almost 100 years old at the time when he writes this letter. As an elder, as a father, he beseeches us, children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. What a glorious thing it is to be freed from condemnation. Happened to me Friday morning when I looked on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle and found this article on the front page. Chocolate is good in the fight against bad cholesterol. Chocolate may be the despair of dieters, but it also contains a class of chemicals that will help lower the risk of heart disease, according to researchers at University of California at Davis. And it goes on to say that these chemicals are very beneficial. The more chocolate you eat, the healthier your heart is going to be, you see. It's a glorious thing to be free. I headed right for Denny's and got a huge hot fudge sundae immediately. Fabulous thing to be free from condemnation. Fabulous thing to be free from guilt. In fact, John tells us in our text that spiritually it's a fabulous thing to be free from condemnation. For you see, he says in verse 21, look with me, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive of him. When our heart is free from condemnation, we have confidence toward God, and we have effectiveness in our prayers. That's what happens when your heart is free from guilt and condemnation. You can approach the Father confidently, and you can pray effectively. John says that straight out. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence, verse 21, toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive of him. Now, this confidence toward God and effectiveness in prayer is not because we are earning brownie points. It is not coming to the Father and saying, hey, my heart is free from condemnation, so give the goods to me. And here's what I want today. And then we present him our wish list and say, hey, you better come through because I've been a real good boy or a real good girl and my heart is not condemning me, so here's what I want, you see. That's not it. It is not that we dictate to God or demand from God, but when we are in that glorious relationship with the Father, where there's not a lot of junk that's in the way, you will find yourself deciding that God knows what's best. It's not dictating to God or demanding from God, but it's deciding that God knows what's best. You see, the psalmist put it this way in that classic verse that many of you know by heart. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will what? give you the desires of your heart. Just delight in Him. Don't let a bunch of junk get in the way between you and your Father, you see. And guess what will happen? As you delight in Him, the desires of your heart will match up to what His will for your life is. And so, when you pray, you're praying for things that are in His will. Well, I thought they were on my heart. They are, but who put them on your heart? The Lord did, you see. So, on Tuesday, we see Tad and Marna and their family get on that plane from Medford International Airport. And they're on their way to Vanuatu. And right before they got on, I pulled Marna aside. I said, Marna, you know, she has her kids there with her and all of her worldly possessions in a crate. And Marna, are you into this? She says, yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to get there. And I just marvel, you know. Now, Don Sample, I can't believe it, but he was, where is Don? Are you here right now? Yeah, he was totally mixed up. He was spreading this rumor throughout the fellowship. I couldn't believe it. It came back around to me, you know. Hey, Tad and Marna, they're going to Hollywood. They're going to Hollywood. And Hollywood? What do you mean Hollywood? I don't understand. Yeah, they're going to Wheel of Fortune. They're going to be on Wheel of Fortune? Yeah, they're going to see Pat Sajak. How do you know that? Tad told me he's going to see Vanna White too. Vanna White too? Vanna. I didn't think it was funny either. That's why I wasn't going to use it. I thought it was a lousy joke, Don. Just a sample of Don's humor. Vanna White to Vanuatu. They're going to Vanna White is the one that spins the wheel or puts the letters on. But they're really going to Vanuatu. See, there's a closeness in those two phrases. Don can explain it afterwards. It's his joke. I didn't think it was funny. But but be that as it may, Todd and Marna are on their way and they're there right now. Why? Why are Tad and Marna there? Because it's on their heart. Because it wasn't that they were dictating to God or demanding from God to go to some exotic island, but you see, they were just simply delighting in God and deciding that God knows what's right. That's the glory. So when there's not a lot of junk between you and the Lord, when your heart is not condemning you, you have confidence toward God, and you have absolute assurance that He is going to do what's right for you. How foolish it is to begin to pray, not thy will be done, but my will be done. I think of Judges chapter 11, Jephthah that day, going out to battle against the enemies of Israel. And he demanded his way when he said to God, now, Lord, give us victory. And I promise to you that the first thing that I see when I get back home, I'll offer it as a sacrifice unto thee. No doubt, Jephthah was thinking the first thing he would see would be a cow or a bull or a lamb. But as the victory was granted to him, when he came back home, much to his shock, much to his chagrin, out from his house ran his daughter to meet him. And Jephthah kept his vow and kept his word. It was a tragic thing, you see. You don't treat God like Monty Hall. It's not, let's make a deal. Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. And Lord, you better do this because I already did that. That's not the way that we approach God, you see. Now, if though we're walking with the Lord, then your heart is just to do His will. Because you understand that Father knows best, that we don't see very clearly. The Greeks had a saying in the days of Paul that when the gods want to punish a person, they answer his prayers. The idea there was we pray so often for things that are ultimately hurtful, harmful, or heartbreaking. And that is true, I do believe. More and more, I think we're understanding, Father, you see what's best for me and my family. And Father, I now just discuss this issue with you And I pray like Jesus taught me to, not my will, but thy will be done. And I have confidence that you're hearing my prayer, that your will is going to be done. And that's the promise here, you see. Now, this is an important truth. If your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence toward God. And whatever you ask, you receive of him. Why? Because you're asking things that are in harmony with his will. And it's a glorious place to be when you're seeing prayers answered and you have confidence with the Father. Maybe, though, today you say, well, that's fine, but I don't have that confidence in him. How can I get that confidence in him? Listen, here's how you can get that confidence. Notice what it goes on to say in our text today. We have confidence in him, verse 21. We ask and receive of him, verse 22, because we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Wow. So I can have confidence with the Father. If I do the things that are pleasing in his sight, I won't be condemned in my heart. What does that mean, to do the things that are pleasing in his sight? Well, to the Jewish people, it was overwhelming. For you see, they counted carefully that in the Old Testament law, there was 613 commandments, 365 negative commandments, and 248 positive commandments. 613 commandments. Are we to do all those commandments and then we can have confidence with the Father and then we can see our prayers answered? Wow. Well, that's what the law declares, 613, but good news. The psalmist came by in Psalm 15, and he reduced that from 613 and summed it up into 12 commands. You can read it there in Psalm 15 at your leisure. But still, that's a dozen commands to keep, and that's a big load. So Micah comes on the scene, and Micah declares to us in chapter 6, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah reduces it to 3. We go from 613 to 12 in Psalm 15 to 3. The prophet Micah tells you and me, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. But that still may be too complicated for many of us, you see. So in Matthew chapter 22, they came to Jesus. Master, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And he says, there is a second likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself, for upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus reduced it to 2. From 613, the Torah, the law, to 12, Matthew 15, to 3 in the book of Micah, Jesus says it's 2. You just love God and you love people. And that sums up all the law and the prophets, you see. You say, well, 2 is still too big of a number for me. Well, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, all of the law, all of the Old Testament is fulfilled in one word, even in this, love. That's it. One word. Is that okay? Is that doable? Is that rememberable for you and for me? I think so. It's all summed up in one. All 613 are summed up in a single word, love. Jesus said it's just so simple, profoundly so. You love God and you love people. You just love. And that's the message of 1 John. Look what he says here. Keep his commandments, verse 22. Do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And watch the... note carefully here the word, verse 23, this is his commandment, singular. Keep his commandments. Oh no, how am I going to do that? He says, this is his commandment, singular. One thing, if you would, that you believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, and love each other. There it is again. You just believe on the Lord and you love the people of the Lord. It's really one commandment, one thing. Loving on the Lord and loving on his people. That's the whole thing. It's all summed up in that. And that is why in verse 18, stay with me here. In verse 18, he says, this is the whole message, little children. Let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, verse 19, circle this if you're following this study, and hopefully you are. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. How do we have an assured heart, a non-condemned heart, a free heart? Watch this. How do we have this assured heart, verse 19? Well, verse 18 says, by simply loving. Practically, if you love, your heart will have assurance before the Father. If you love, you'll be keeping the commandment of the Father. It all boils down to that. Just loving. Loving the Lord and loving His people. Not in theory, not in word or in tongue, but in reality, verse 18 says to you and to me. You love in reality. You love with action. True story, speaking of Vanuatu and missions. Number of years ago, when missionaries were just beginning to go places via airplane, missionary aviation was just in its early stages, a man was headed to a South Sea island flying solo. His plane crashed on an island. The crash was severe. He was in a coma for what seemed to be several months. When he came to, being nursed back to health by the natives on that island, he regained his health almost completely, except there was damage to his brain in such a way that he lost all ability to speak. He could not speak. And this missionary was there on that island for 12 years. His plane crashed, radio contact non-existent. No one knew where he was, but these islanders were taking care of him for 12 years. 12 years after the crash, and this man unable to speak a word, some other missionaries arrived on that island. And they began to talk to the natives about Jesus Christ, about the goodness and grace and kindness and love of Jesus Christ. And as these natives heard this new missionary talk about Jesus Christ, in this first teaching sermon rap that this missionary was giving, they said, wait, stop. We will now take you to the man about whom you are speaking. And they took the missionary to this other missionary who had been there for 12 years, unable to say a single word, but loving the natives and showing the reality of Jesus Christ in deed and in truth. He showed the reality of Christ in such a way that they thought, when they heard about Jesus Christ, that He was the man already in the midst of them, you see. That's the way it ought to be. Augustine was correct when he said, witness to everyone you can, and if absolutely necessary, use words. I like that. Witness to everybody you can, and if absolutely necessary, use words. That's what John is arguing for. He says, look, verse 18, love, not just in word, not just what you say theoretically or verbally, nor in tongue, what you voice with your opinions or in your theology, but love in deed, love in truth. And if you love, if I love, then my heart will be assured, verse 19, before God. And having an assured heart, then I have confidence with God and effectiveness in prayer. Very simple. It all boils down to this. Love God, gang, and love people. In loving God and in loving people, not just in theory, but by your actions, by what you do. Not by the words I say, but by the deeds I do. In so doing, I am fulfilling the commandment of God. In fact, I am fulfilling all the commands of God. It's all fulfilled in one word, even in this, love. Are you with me? So if you're loving, you have assurance in your heart and confidence toward God and effectiveness in your prayer. If you're not loving, then you lack those things, you see. Because what he is after is singular. It's simple. Love each other and love the Lord with all of your being. Now, watch this, because you may say here today, well, John, I guess I agree with that. It's pretty simple here. If I love, then my heart will be assured before him, verse 19. If I'm gossiping, cynical, critical, sniveling, finding fault, being unkind, then I guess I won't have that confidence toward God, that assurance in my heart, and my prayers can't be answered because I'll be praying amiss. That makes sense to me. But what do I do, John? Because you know what? I am keenly aware of my lack of love. My heart is condemning me. Look at this. This is great. Beloved, it says in verse 20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. If your heart is condemning you today, if your heart is condemning you, and you go, man, my heart, I'm just not the man or not the woman that I know I could be or should be. I don't love in that practicality. I don't have that assurance in my heart, that confidence toward God, that effectiveness in prayer. My heart condemns me. Good news for you, too. Great news for me. Because John here says, listen, if your heart doesn't condemn you, great. You have assurance in your heart, confidence towards God, effectiveness in prayer. But if your heart does condemn you, God is greater than your heart. He knows all things. What does he know? Jot these verses down, or if you can turn there quickly, so do. Because God knows some stuff about you and some stuff about me that helps me when my heart condemns me, and my heart does condemn me not infrequently. What does God know? Listen, beloved, if your heart condemns you, even if that be so, if your heart does condemn you, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. What does he know? Well, in Psalm 103, we read here, like a father, verse 13, pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him, for he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust. I love that. What does God know about you? What does God know about me? He knows that we're made up of dust. As a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon you and me. He remembers our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that we are made of dust. Little boy comes home from Sunday school. Mom, is it true? Is it true, as my teacher was telling me, that we came from dust and we go back to dust? Yeah, honey, it's true. We came from dust. Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. And yeah, to dust we go back when our life is over here on earth. Our bodies go back to dust and we go to heaven. So yeah, we come from dust and we go to dust. Oh boy, he said, Mommy, there's somebody underneath my bed. I don't know if he's coming or if he's going. The Lord does know our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. You see, that's the thing, gang. Listen. When my heart condemns me, oh, I'm not loving. I'm not doing what I could be. I'm not loving like I should be. God is greater than my heart. He knows what I am. What am I? Dust. He remembers my frame. He knows how I'm made. He remembers my frame and knows that I am but dust. Then in 2 Timothy, what else does he know about you and me? Jot these down. Look them up later. It'll bless you immensely. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So he knows my frame, Psalm 103, and he knows those that are his. He knows those that are his. I was reading about penguins. It's amazing what penguins do. When a mama penguin lays an egg, she immediately goes out to sea. and she goes on a 3-month eating binge. Dad is left there on the iceberg or the ice float to stand on the egg, and he cannot leave his post. He can't move for 3 months. He's got to stand there on the egg, keeping the egg warm while mom is swimming around pigging out for 3 months. And these majestic giant penguins that are 3.5 feet high, they're in Antarctica and up at the Arctic Circle. They stand there, the men do, 3 months until mom decides she's had enough to eat. And she comes back again. And when she comes back again, then dad gets to take a quick break and go out to sea and grab a quick bite to eat, you see. And then he comes back, and by this time, baby has hatched, and now baby's going, you know, walking around. And the dad, it's an amazing thing in these penguins. The dad, here's millions of penguins. They're dressed exactly alike. And dad has never even seen his baby, but he'll go right up to his baby. Out of millions of penguins, having never just standing on the egg there for 3 months, and then going out for a while to get something, coming back, he finds his own penguin. And his own, you know, Peter Penguin or whatever, he finds the right one and begins to tend him and give him fishing lessons and swimming lessons and all the rest. How can this be? How can this be, these penguins recognizing intuitively, instinctively, the one that is his? It's amazing to me. But God says, I know who are mine. I know this. You are mine. And what does he do? Listen. Have you ever been in a place where there's danger? I have, where sirens are sounding, where things are coming down. Watch and see what parents do. Immediately, parents look for their kids and gather their kids around them. They don't say, well, let's see now. Peter, John, you've been good, so come, I'm going to find you. And Ben, you've been good. Christy, who cares? You were bad this week, so tough luck, Christy. That's the way it goes. Listen. When there's danger, when there's disaster, when there's difficulty, what does a parent do? A parent gathers around every one of his kids. He knows his kids. He knows those that are his. She knows those that are hers. And she gathers them, or he gathers them. That's the idea in Timothy. The Lord knows those that are his. If your heart condemns you, God knows all things. What does he know? He knows that your frame is but dust. He knows that you are his, and he's going to see you through, even in time of difficulty. You would with your kids, and he will with his. Of that you can be certain, you see. John chapter 2 tells us this. What else does he know? I like this. Jesus, in John chapter 2, verse 23, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But, verse 24 of John chapter 2, Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Jesus didn't commit himself to those that were saying, wow, look at the miracles he's doing. Let's follow him. Jesus didn't commit himself because he knew all men. What do you mean? Just this. He knew that their commitment would be shallow and unkeepable. He wasn't saying, I'm not going to commit myself to you because, hey, I don't like you. But rather what he was saying is, I know what's in you. You're not going to be able to keep the commitment that you're making. I know that. You're impressed with my miracles. You're blown away by my presence and power. But I know that you don't really understand or have a clue. So I'm not going to hold you to your commitment. I know you. I promise, Daddy. I promise. If I can just get that bike for Christmas, I'll never ask for another thing again. Do I commit myself to that promise? No, because I know what's in my son. I know all men, you see. I know that they're sincere at the time, but they're unable to keep that commitment. So Jesus here, in hearing these guys say, oh, we're going to follow you, said, oh, I know what's in you. Not because he was mad at them or down on them, but because he understood what was within them. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. He knows all things. What does he know? He knows we make promises that we can't keep. What does he know? He knows that our bodies are just dust, man. We're earthy. We're frail. We're faulted. What does he know? He knows those that are his. He still understands. He still embraces. He still honors his children. He knows those that are his, you see. What else does he know? Well, in Psalm 139, oh my goodness, what a glorious psalm this is. We don't have time to go through it, but suffice it to say, Lord, you have searched me. You have known me. You know, Lord, my down sitting and my uprising. You know my thoughts afar off. Lord, you know where I'm at. He said, Lord, when I make my bed in hell, you're there. You know. When I'm in heaven, you know. You know everything about me. When I was being put together in my mother's womb, Lord, you were there. You know. And the psalmist here says to the Lord, you know my ups and my downs, my failings, my vulnerabilities, my shortcomings. Oh, Lord, search me. Search my heart, Lord. You know all about me. And the Lord does know everything about you. For you see, he put you together, Psalm 139 says, in the womb of your mother. He knows how you are. He knows what you are. He knows who you are. And lastly, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. What does the Lord say? I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to a glorious end. I know. When did he say that? When they were headed into captivity. For 70 years, the Jewish people were going to go through hard times and tough days up in Babylon. But what did the Lord have to say? I know what I'm doing. It might look brutal and bleak to you. It might seem like a bummer, like a downer, but I know what I'm doing. I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to a glorious end. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. What does he know? He knows the thoughts he thinks towards you, to bring you to a beautiful end. What does he know? He knows your frame, your body. You're just dust, man. He knows your weaknesses. What does he know? He knows when you're in hell, if you would, and when you're in heaven. That is, your ups and your downs, your highs and your lows. He knows. He knows the commitments that you make that cannot be kept. John chapter 2. And he doesn't hold you to those things. He understands. He knows what's in men. What does he know? He knows those who are his. That's what he knows. And you are. So when your heart condemns you, understand this. God is greater than your heart. He knows all things. What am I saying? What is John declaring in this passage? Which can be complicated, but very simple when you get its essence. He's saying this simply. I can rest in what God knows about me, even if my heart is condemning me. Lord, I'm yours. Lord, you know those who are yours. I've given myself to you and you died for me. Lord, you know my frame. I'm but dust. You know my vulnerabilities, my weaknesses. Lord, you know my uprising, my downsitting. Lord, you know my inability to keep my commitments. Oh, Lord, you know. Even if my heart condemns me, hey, God is greater than my heart. He knows all things. So I can rest in what God knows about me. I have just a beautiful peace that God knows me. The one that knows me the best loves me the most, which is a miracle to me. The one that knows me the best loves me the most. The one that really knows just how dusty you are. The one that really knows just how bad you've been. The one that really knows just how many commitments you haven't kept. The one that knows you the best, loves you the most. Beloved, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart, and he knows all things. Rest in that. So I can rest in what God knows about me, and I need not doubt or wonder what God desires from me. What does he desire from me? That I love him, and that I love people. Loving God, loving people, keeping the commandment, which will then give me what? Confidence with God and effectiveness in prayer. Folks, it's really simple. John says, if you truly are doing his commandment, and this is commandment, believe on the Lord and love the brothers. Love the Lord and love people. You have assurance. if you're loving, not just in word or in tongue, but in deed, action, and truth. You have assurance in your heart, and you'll have confidence toward God and effectiveness in prayer. And so, I leave you with that today, John's word of simplification of life. If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He knows all things. He understands. But if you choose to keep his commandment, which is to love, then you'll have assurance in your heart, confidence toward God, effectiveness in prayer, and man, your life will be blessed exceedingly. That's what John wants for you, for me today. Let's pray, shall we? And so, Father, I thank you so very much that you know all things. You are greater than our hearts. For those that have come into this amphitheater today and who have been condemning themselves, Father, the scriptures that we went over quickly, may they be recalled and reflected on and understood by anyone, Lord, who's wrestling with condemnation. May they know the thoughts that you think are thoughts of peace. May they know that you remember our frames and know that we are but dust. May they know that you know those that are yours. May they know that you know what is in all men. May they know that you know our uprisings and our downsittings, our heavenly times and our hellish days. So, Lord, I pray that this simple phrase that your Spirit inspired John to write would have a profound impact on many today. Hearts that are condemned, may they know that you are greater than the heart and that you know all things. And yet, Father, I pray that we would move on from there, and that we would find ourselves having assured hearts, that we would have confidence in coming to you, Father, that we would have, Lord, effectiveness in our prayers with you. So I pray that we might keep the commandment, which is to love you and love the brothers. Fill this place, Lord, with your Spirit, that we might understand the profound simplicity of being people that love, not in theory, not in theology. But show each of us, Lord, what we might do today, this week, to shower someone with love, true love, sacrificial love, giving love. Help us to keep your commandment. And this we pray in thy name today, Lord. Amen. Shall we stand? A passage like this that we just looked at, upon first reading, can seem to be very, very difficult. And then when you get the heart of it, it's so simple, you go, yeah, it's obvious. God wants us to love in word, not only in word, but pardon me, in deed and in truth. And he wants us to love his son, to believe on him and trust in him and look to him. That's what he wants. And when we love man, we're doing the whole enchilada. The whole thing is done. If you're loving people and loving God, you're doing the whole thing. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing else to do. If you're loving God and loving people, you're doing the whole Bible. Upon this hangs all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. Love God, love your neighbor. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, Paul said, love. It's so simple. It's so simple. Just love. In so doing, you can have confidence with God, effectiveness in prayer, and assurance within your heart. It's all there. Just love. So little children, love. Love each other. Truly love each other. Love somebody that needs to be encouraged. Reach out to them this week. Somebody that needs to be shared with, talk to them today. Love each other. And as you keep on doing like you're doing, precious people, man, your hearts will be assured. You're doing the whole deal. And if you fail, and I do, and I know that most of you do as well, and your heart does condemn you, know this, God is greater than your heart. He knows all things. It's a win-win deal, folks. The whole thing is just glorious. It's wonderful. He tells us what He desires from us, that we might see prayers answered and blessings flowing. And yet, then He tells us He understands the truth about us. And when our hearts condemn us, He knows these things. Fabulous. I love the Lord. I love His Word. I love the whole thing. It's all good news. It's all a win. Enjoy the Lord today. Thank Him for who He is, that He's your Father who understands that you're real dusty. He understands all about you and all about me. And guess what? He loves us anyway. He knows that we're His, and I'm so glad. Maybe you don't know if you're part of the family. When we're done here in just a moment, there'll be some pastors right back up here by this drum set. And they'd love to share with you and talk to you and pray with you about receiving Jesus Christ into your heart today. Don't miss the opportunity. Have a blessed day. God bless you, encourage you, and little children, love one another. It's the whole deal. God bless you.